else's.
We will begin this meeting, Thursday, December 12th, 2024, Iowa City Historic Preservation Commission meeting, beginning with a call to order.
Lewis here.
Villanueva.
Frank Wagner.
Willow Reynolds.
Brown.
Seligren.
Beck.
Burford.
Bowman.
Great. Public discussion of anything not on the agenda. Moving on to item D, certificates of appropriateness.
Okay, the first project is 621 North Johnson Street in the Brown Street Historic District. It is located here near the corner of Ronald Street. The house is likely a catalog home. It has a couple siding patterns. We have a narrow lap siding with corner boards. We have a staggered shingle with mitered corners, battered columns. It's very intact, and so it's actually considered a key contributing property in the historic district. It also has this small historic garage, and the garage, some small changes to the garage are the project that's under review today. As you can see, this is a site plan with the garage here. It's located pretty much on the property line. We've actually been working with this property owner for a long time, probably almost a year or so, just on various possibilities for using the space for some type of living space. And so here we have the garage. Again, it has some original swinging hinged doors. On the north side, which you can see from Ronald Street, it has just one small window. There's no windows on the back. And then on the south side, looking into the yard, there's again just one small window. The plan is to make it basically into one large space. There would be a laundry with a sink, a toilet, and a tub in this location. They do plan for a mini split for some conditioning of the air, and I'm assuming that they're not going to try to pipe hot water out from the house, so that they'll eventually put in some type of maybe on-demand water heater. It's not shown here. A couple things. We went through a few options. First of all, the mini split was originally on the back, but it does need by code to be 2 feet off the property line. So they're moving it around the corner to the south side, and it'll be 2 feet from the property line, wherever that ends up. They're showing it here for now. We were talking about the windows, and there were a few options. If they wanted to retain this type of window and everything, then we would not actually replace these windows because they're not beyond repair. They're in pretty good condition. And so currently the plan is to make them operable, which I'll talk about in a minute, minimally. I mean, a hinge, something to hold them open is about all it'll take. And add an additional window on the south side and a passage door. They also want to add some windows to the historic garage doors, and I'll talk about that as well. And as you can see from the back, there won't be any changes. At one point, they talked about skylights and stuff, and none of that is in the current plan. So here's one of the windows, and I had mentioned to them the possibility of making it either an awning or a hopper window by adding a hinge and stuff. Obviously, we have some trim here. The trim is the stop for the window on the outside, so the hinge and any adjustment to the stop will have to happen on the inside instead. So for these to operate, they will open inwards. So right now, they're showing that the new window will be an awning window, which opens like this. That's not the way these will be able to be fixed to operate. And so I don't know exactly what level of looking into the changes that need to be made, what level they did, but I'll discuss that with them. And I would assume that they'll want the additional window to operate the same way, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, because of the fact that the trim is the stop for this sash on the outside, it'll open inward. for adding windows to the two garage doors, they did submit a few images of local garages that have similar windows. And staff does agree that this type of a window configuration, probably this more than what we have going on here, just because of the small windows that exist on the garage, would definitely be possible. Again, I'm not exactly sure how much they looked into that, because they proposed to purchase two windows and put them in those doors, and structurally I don't think that's going to work. So I did mention to them that I thought they'd probably add some remove some of this beadboard, keep the frame of the door, which is the entire structure of the door. So they'll cut this out, they'll again use this frame as the exterior stop, they'll add some interior stop to hold glass in place, and mutton bars. And whether or not those are a bunch of individual little actual divided lights, or it's just a mutton bar adhered to the outside, that would be up to them. I would suggest that they do this as easy as they possibly could. It would be possible to put in insulated glass unit in there if they wanted to, but the door itself isn't insulated really either. I don't know what they plan to do on the interior of the building, because we don't review that. So I'll also talk to them about exactly how they're going to do this. When I mentioned the fact that purchasing that six pane window and putting it in there probably won't work structurally, then they agreed that they would just modify these. So we'll go over that a little bit more. And then the other thing was the door. This is just a pressed steel door, and staff does not ever find that a steel passage door meets the requirements for basically wood replacement in the guidelines. It's not paintable in the same way. They do tend to dent and rust, and so we typically approve either a wood door or a fiberglass door. And they did agree also to do that. Since this house has Craftsman details, staff would find it acceptable to do basically the fiberglass version of this. It would have two panels here and a small divided light kind of window here. Typically on a garage, you may remember that we normally suggest a two or three panel door with a half light, so a window that's half the height of the door. But given the fact that this house has Craftsman details, it could be considered appropriate to do a Craftsman door here too. I don't honestly remember why I showed you this image again, but it does show more what we were looking at for the door. It's also possible, so that we do know that the dryer will need a vent by code, and so there will be a small dryer vent hole that's put in the side of the garage. And like I said, probably a water heater. I mean, I'm assuming it might be a gas water heater, which would have a vent, but again, I don't know. And it would just be some type of small opening, and I think any side of the garage except for the front would be an appropriate place to do that as well. So the guidelines that relate to this project are the fact that we typically like to retain the historic garage doors, which they voluntarily always wanted to do. They never proposed to replace those. Adding new door openings that are trimmed to match the others, so that new door and that new window will match the trim on the other windows. And then here is the guideline about substituting a material in place for wood. Durable, except paint, and be approved by the HPC. And so far, a steel door is not approved. For windows, preserving the historic windows, which they do propose to do, adding windows that match the type, size, sash width, etc. of the existing windows, adding new windows in a location, even though currently the north and south just has an individual window centered on the wall, considering the fact that on that south wall we're adding a door on one side and a window on the other, it would, staff would consider that matching that kind of window pattern and what we have going on in the garage. And the fact that windows on outbuildings should be relatively small and rectangular or square. So currently, the recommended motion for this project is to approve the project with the condition that that passage door is constructed of wood or fiberglass, and that all windows and glazing complies with the guidelines. That basically just makes sure that if we do need to modify the current proposal of fixing the existing windows to operate, or how we put glazing in the door, that we would at least make sure that we still are complying with the guidelines if it changes a little bit.
All right. Clarifying questions? All right. Do we have a motion?
Sure. Lewis recommends approval of a certificate of appropriateness for the project at 621 North Johnson Street as presented in the application with the following conditions. The door is constructed of wood or fiberglass, and all windows and glazing complies with the guidelines.
Brown, second.
Great. Is there any commission discussion?
I like that this garage is being used in this way. We talk about and hear about how we need housing in the city, and this is a nice way to incorporate it within an old neighborhood.
Agreed. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Item 2, 518 North Van Buren Street.
Okay, 518 North Van Buren Street is in the Goosetown Horace Mann Conservation District. It's located right here. Just across the alley is the Northside Historic District, so that's very adjacent there. This is the house, and typically people look at this house and think it's been highly modified. It is considered non-contributing, but looking into this house, I did find some interesting facts about it. The survey thought that it was built, I think, like the 1880s or something like that. And it is definitely not shown on our fire insurance maps until 1926. But when we look at the house in more detail in a second, you'll see that I do agree with the construction date. So I'm pretty sure it was moved to this site between 1921 and 1926. And it was basically a Queen Anne cross-gabled house. You can see a little bit of it here. We have this scroll bracket that's going on here. Ignore this for a minute. But if we look at the side, so the north side, we can see that we have brackets at the corners. We have a nice little bit of a crown molding. We have a band board here that's just not painted white, separating the second floor from the attic. And then we have this interesting belt course that goes around below the windowsill for the second floor. And that's shingled and tapered. On this side, which is the south side, there is a projecting bay, and it's a canted bay, meaning it's the corners are cut off. And there's little brackets, scroll brackets, that support the upper floor, which is not canted. And these are all Queen Anne details. On the back side, we have another little inset porch that has columns that were also bracketed. This portion is an addition, and then this is also an addition. And so basically what we have here is a nice little cross-gabled Queen Anne that was moved to this site between 1921 and 1926, and then someone decided to put a very heavy masonry, because all of this is brick right here, porch on it. And then soon after that, they enclosed this portion of the porch. So it had, it was kind of like modernized by having that large, heavy porch put on it. Since then, yes, it has been heavily altered. We have living space added to the basement so that we have egress windows on the front. This enclosed portion, we have access to an upper floor apartment that goes across the front porch roof and up the side. We have another basement entry on the north side here, and this does not meet code. I mean, now it doesn't, but it has a permit that's been there for a long time. It's just too narrow. On this side, we have another little entry, one on the back. Mm-hmm. And the subject of the project is this chimney. And so they...
What's the problem?
They had some leaks in the roof, and so they had someone go up, and they were able to repair the larger chimney on the house, which is located here, by adding some flashing. I will say I saw the other side in a photo, and there's a lot of caulk used all over a lot of that. But while they were up there, they determined that this was not stable and they needed to take it down, and so they took it down. And currently this is what we have is a stovepipe. Now, our guidelines talk about the fact that historic chimneys should be preserved. Typically repairing and capping unused chimneys in a manner that prevents vermin from entering but allows air circulation is one thing that can be done. If there are new chimney pipes, we don't approve new chimney pipes to just penetrate the roof. We typically require that they construct a like faux chimney, frame it out. They can use thin bricks. One of my first projects I worked on here, there was a property owner on Grant Street, and he had a chimney and then some exposed pipes. And he proposed to take down the chimney and build a fake chimney that covered the chimney and all the pipes. And so we approved that. And it was basically, they frame it out, they have to make sure there's enough support underneath, but using thin bricks and some mortar can kind of approximate the look of brick, especially when it's far away. And stucco is sometimes used as well. It is disallowed to remove prominent chimneys that are important to the historic architectural character of the building. And then it's also disallowed to remove anything unless approved, basically. So in staff's opinion, if this was not a used chimney, there were no pipes involved, it didn't need to be used at all, staff would recommend approval to demolish it. It's on the back. It was just a straight chimney that at least was left. And so, you know, it wasn't architecturally significant. Currently, because of the fact that this house has already had some alterations, staff is recommending that they shorten the pipe to what code requires, which is 2 feet. And we can approximate that because we know that 3 stacks of brick is 8 inches. So approximately to this point, or probably this joint, they could shorten it and straighten it. And staff does find that if the commission wants to be, I guess, flexible or lenient for this particular project, that could be approved. However, we also have not approved leaving a bare chimney pipe like that so far since I've been here. But it doesn't mean that you know, we don't do everything based on precedent. So it is the commission's role to decide. So this, a few other things we can see for alterations to this house. Originally, this rear-facing wing had, you know, it extended to this point, so it matched. And so this has been built out, as well as the dormer and then several entrances here. Because of the fact that the chimney was here, it likely never had a window in this location, but of course I'm sure that there's an apartment up here, and so they've added a window at some point in time. I don't know if I don't have a photo of it, but one of the interesting things I also discovered was that in the survey, they mentioned that there at one point there was a basement garage.
Hmm.
I really do not think that that's what we're looking at here. I think this was really just a full-width front porch. But at the same time, there is a basement entry back under here. And it is wide enough that it's similar to the size of some of those historic basement garages. So I think it might have been something that came off the alley, kind of like right under the back part of the front porch or something like that. And that would have been done when the house was moved there, if it really was moved like I think it was. So anyway, currently the project is, they've already removed the chimney. So we can't really stack it up with bricks again. I don't know if they removed it below. I don't know if there's anything in the attic to support it. The commission could either approve it, as I recommend, shortening it. You could also approve it as it is. Or you could approve it that they need to frame it out and use thin bricks, as we would if it was a new chimney pipe that was penetrating the roof.
All right, clarifying questions?
Did this come to us? Like they came to us with like this, I guess, how did this come to us?
This is one of those situations where a neighbor reported that the chimney had been removed. And so we sent an inspector out, and the inspector let them know they needed to apply for a demolition permit, because that's the only thing that would have really impacted us here, and then historic review for that demolition.
Okay. I was just trying to understand if it came by the owners, what were the owners asking of us if they already took apart the chimney, but now I understand. Okay.
Yeah, and so I'm... You know, it is a rental property, and I've been in conversation with, I think, the owner or the person in charge. Maybe it's a property manager kind of person. I'm not exactly sure. And I'm sure they would agree to shortening it. I let them know that it's possible that you could require that they build it and, make a fake chimney. They know that. They did not comment on that.
Brown, a question. If the owners had come to you with the picture of the chimney in the state that it had been in before they demolished it and said, what is the recommended approach to this, or what should we do? What would your recommendation have been?
We would have recommended repairing this chimney.
Okay.
I looked back, and there have been numerous violations of the chimney being in disrepair over the last 3 decades.
And of this particular chimney?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so I'm assuming it has just never been repaired completely. And I'm also assuming that the derecho and or other related storms we've had since then probably damaged it further.
Sure. And one other question. In the demolition recommendations that you just had up 1 second ago, if you could go back to that, how do we determine if this is a historic architectural feature chimney or a non-historic architectural feature chimney?
Yeah, and my recommendation is that this is not a significant architectural feature. And I would say that partly because it's utilitarian, it's not decorative, at least what remains. It is on the back, and it's not like this type of, obviously many Queen Anne houses have a chimney, and in fact this one does have a larger and more decorative chimney. And so I would, even though neither of the chimneys are readily visible from the street in an easy way, that if one was architecturally significant, it would have been the larger one that is more decorative. And so this one, I would say, is not. If it had been unused, I would have recommended approving its demolition simply because of that. Because it is used, that would be the more complicated factor. And it has a basement boiler. And so this is the vent for that boiler. And so there's not really a way for them to, vent out the wall instead, like a modern furnace might or something like that. Maybe if they replace the boiler with a modern boiler, that might be the possibility, but not with what they have now.
And sorry, one more follow-up. So for a house that has multiple chimneys on it, there's sometimes like a secondary one. It's not the primary. It's not as nice. If a house only had one chimney, is that chimney almost by definition architecturally significant?
The commission has approved removal of the only chimney on a house before. Not necessarily. I mean, there are some housing types, like there tends to be a large number of brick bungalows that have brick chimneys. And so in some cases, those would be significant. If it is, you know, decorative brickwork, of course. If it's also a chimney that's on the exterior, so it's visible all the way, then that would definitely be one that's architecturally significant. I think, you know, it's going to be, again, a case of looking at each individual house and its chimney separately.
Thanks.
There was a chimney on East College Street, and it was a bungalow, and those property owners wanted to demolish their chimney, and the commission did not approve that, partly because, you know, it was kind of like in the middle of the house, but it was, you know, you could see it from the street. It was part of the architecture of the house. The brick matched other things, you know, like that. So
I was just, this is Margaret Beck. Does it matter that the house is non-contributing? Does that factor into the discussion?
It can for you. There is not a specific guideline for either of these issues that would allow a different, you know, there's not an exception to the guidelines for a non-contributing property in these two sections, basically.
This is Thoman. I'm curious about the pipe height. We were talking about how it's not code required. It's not a height that the code would approve at this point. Is that the code for the city or for historic? Oh,
so the building code will require, chimneys can be a little complicated, but basically with what we have going on here, where there's not another roof that's within 20 feet and stuff like that, it needs to project out of the roof 2 feet.
Okay.
That code requires that. So it can't be shorter than that. It can be taller. I'm assuming that at one point this chimney was this tall, so that we had, you know, the cap sitting on top of the chimney. And so it's lost, you know, those bricks.
This is Lewis. When you say it's lost those bricks, what does that mean?
I would say it means they've either fallen on the ground or they've fallen inside.
Okay.
I imagine them raining down on passerby. But I'm sure it's not.
And if it was storm damage, you know, it could have been that they all fell at one moment.
Oh, God.
I don't know that.
All right. Do we have a motion?
So this motion, so a couple things. This motion was the staff recommendation that allows them to leave the brick off, straighten the pipe, but shorten it, patch the roof to match. You guys can make this motion. You can make a different motion if you want. If you approve this, fine. If you don't approve this, then I suggest that you turn around and make another motion for what you would approve. So I wouldn't necessarily amend this if you want them to construct a chimney. I would vote on something and then make another recommended motion to construct a chimney and then approve that if that's what you want to do. And I'll help you with that if you want. But, you know, they basically took down the chimney. they sort of agreed with the staff recommendation. And so that's why I recommend that you either vote, you know, on this staff recommendation or just what they already did. And then if you want something else, then we'll work on that. And that would give them the ability to appeal if they wanted and all of that kind of stuff.
So in other words, get this motion out there now.
Yeah, and either this or just demolish the chimney and leave the pipe, you know, whatever, like they did. This is kind of a compromise between what they've already done and keeping the chimney.
This is Seligren. But there's not really they can't just leave it. Demolish the chimney and leave the pipe as it is and not straightening it and not patching the roof?
They've patched the roof. I don't know how they've patched the roof. But this is, you could make a motion to do this, shorten it, patch the roof to match, or approve it as it is.
But you're suggesting make the motion, and then we discuss it, and then we say yes or no. And then after that, if we say no, then we do something else.
Yeah, if you say no, give them something else that they can do.
Gotcha.
Because they've already done some.
Yeah. Frank's like, let's do this.
Frank's ready.
Wagner recommends approval of a certificate of appropriateness for the project at 518 North Van Buren Street as presented in the application with the following conditions. The existing chimney pipe is straightened and shortened to a code-required height of 2 feet. And two, the roof is patched to match the existing roof.
Villanueva, have a second.
All right. We'll just go ahead and begin commission discussion by saying I would prefer to just go with the motion. It doesn't, given the condition of the house and the presenting condition of it, I don't think there's a whole lot of point in preserving what's not there.
I guess my point, Lewis speaking, would be we've had people do this before, right? And we were like, we wouldn't have approved this if you had come to us before. Right? I think we would have, just like you're saying, you would have recommended that they rebuild the chimney. We wouldn't have probably said it was good to demolish. So in this instance, I don't think it's insane to say build the chimney back up, but maybe I'm alone on this one.
No, Brown, I don't disagree. I one of my struggles often in these things is the just do it and then say, oh, look, it's done. And so let's approve it. I'm not a fan of that. I know there's a porch recently that we talked about a whole bunch where that's what they did. They're like, oh my goodness, we had to put a new porch in. So they did, and they didn't do it in any of the ways they were supposed to. And so we said, no, unfortunately you have to actually do it the way you're supposed to.
Right.
And I think what that unfortunately often does is it rewards doing first and then trying to say, essentially they've moved the line and they've said, well, now let's compromise halfway and we'll cut the pipe down, where that compromise is only halfway because they went all the way over and demolished it without asking first.
I think that would stand more with me if the house weren't so heavily modified prior to guidelines being in place, which I assume the porch was done. So
50s or 60s.
It's so unlikely that the house would be brought back to, the Queen Anne it once was.
I agree. And I feel like we, at this stage, because of that, what's happened with the house, I don't want to be like punitive, like, oh no. Regardless of what that house looks like, this is what you're going to do. I think at this is a compromise that I feel comfortable with, given the house. It is going to build the chimney back up to a lower height with the pipe. I think it'll look good.
And there won't be any brick.
No brick. But the pipe is going to get lowered.
Yeah,
it'll be. It's also in the back of the house. It's not going to be seen from the street.
And just as
I think this is the joint where that 2 foot height is, so it would be. You know, this would be down here. Yeah,
it's not ideal, but neither is the house in general.
Right.
You know, and I really do think just this, my opinion is that, like, you know, we have homes that are really, should be preserved. Absolutely should be preserved because they're in good shape or they're something close to good shape and there's potential for them. I just, something like this, is just, there's so much going on. I don't know if there's any. I think that we need to pick our battles because the public is not always,
we want the residents of Iowa City and property owners to be on our side. So
you might feel like there are times we say no to things that also would be certain things like that. I don't know if I necessarily like the, for me, the compromise would be shorten the chimney, but build the chimney up to that level. That to me sounds more like a compromise than just saying go for it, but shorten your chimney to code that we already have. Mm. I also don't know how I feel about like saying parts of this house are so far gone that what are we preserving at this point? I don't necessarily personally disagree with that, but I'm also just like, well, then what stops someone from going in and just saying, I'm going to change what I want, and you guys can disagree with that, and that's great, and then now this house is beyond the point of historicity, if that's a word, and then saying I can do it. You know what I mean?
Well, I think the example of the porch, for one, that is a front porch, and the house beyond that porch replacement is intact.
Sure.
You know, so that was just, I just think that was such a different case than a chimney.
Sure.
I'm feeling lenient.
Can we see the picture of the pipe again really fast? I know I'm being
Which
whatever.
One? This one?
Yeah. Where is this taken?
So from like the...
It's like an alley.
So like from over here? In the alley.
Oh, okay. I was like, that looks
like
street-y,
far,
but okay.
Far back.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we do things with
like back
the back
here.
Of the house anyway, too, where we're allowing a little bit more lenient. Okay.
So, Burford, the point of shortening the chimney is just aesthetic, then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just, I'm going to say this just so that you all are aware, because it came up once in the past. The commission never needs to vote unanimously. FYI. We have had commissioners who thought that was a requirement. And so I just want to make sure that you do all know that.
We're just usually in sync.
I know.
Well.
All right. Would anybody like to make another motion?
Do we have to vote for?
Yeah, you should vote unless you do want to modify it. I mean, you could modify this if you had come to some modification in your discussion.
Does anybody want to?
The person who made the motion would do that.
Okay. I can't remember who made the motion. Well, it was Frank.
Frank.
He's not modifying.
Frank's not in the mood.
Well, I would also just point out, I think going forward, if that boiler or furnace or maybe water heater that they're using is still using that enamel pipe, means it's old. And it's probably going to fail and need to be replaced in the future, and it'll be probably high efficiency and shoot out the side. So the whole thing will go away anyway. Mm. I mean, making them build it. And I agree. I think what you're saying, I think they, you know, shouldn't have gotten away with taking the brick down, but then I agree with what Jordan says, and it's not one to get too worked up about.
All right.
So.
Some things are worth getting worked up about.
Yeah.
This house, perhaps, no.
No.
I'm not inspired to be worked up tonight.
Vote on this motion.
Mm-hmm. All right. Do we have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Aye.
Nay? Aye? I don't know how to say that.
I'm opposed.
So we have two, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. That's good.
I've always wondered.
You say nay?
I don't know.
Do I? Should I phrase it differently?
I don't.
And that was Brown and Lewis.
All opposed say nay.
Then I should just clarify what you say. From
I think
the,
we
okay. Well,
figured her out.
All right. Could be the last opportunity. All right.
Yeah.
Great.
And
did
that vote soundly then carries.
Yeah, so it's, what, there's nine of you, I think? So it's, yeah, 7-2.
Yeah,
and it would just be you could do 5-4 and it still passes. Mm-hmm. You know?
All right, moving on. Item E, report on certificates issued by chair and staff.
So this house on Woodlawn is having some work done on the porch. This whole wing is an addition on this house, and so some of this porch stuff has been replaced in the past, but yeah, these columns used to have nice normal weep holes, and they've been blocked out, and so the floor was rotting out. On this side of the house, which is the east side, there's an internal gutter, and it has had some issues, and the contractor's going to just actually repair it. And he wrote out a comprehensive description of what he was going to do for both the porch and the gutter. It was very nice to see.
Will it be copper?
He's not removing the material, okay, per se. So a mixture of different things. It's been a while since I read it.
So. Okay.
This house on Oakland Avenue has had a couple different things. We approved a rear egress window and window well on this house. This is the front. It's on Oakland. It's actually on this side of the street. No, wait. Where? Or run. No, I don't know. I'm sorry. I had the intern do this in the map star. I didn't move where it goes. It goes right here. This is the house. They added a basement laundry, and there is an old coal chute on the side face right here, and so they had proposed to make a hole in the metal coal chute and put the dryer vent on it, and we were concerned for multiple reasons, and so we just said that they need to make a hole in the brick wall on the back. So here is a rear bump out and the side of it. So basically on the opposite side of this sunroom, they'll put a little hole in the wall. And they changed around their basement floor plan to do that. So that was acceptable. The brick steps had been covered with this carpet and obviously totally deteriorating. And I met out there with the mason, and he thought he was going to be able to only take down some of the sidewalls, so he'll be able to put them back up. There's some nice smooth-dressed limestone caps. This surface is going to be brick as well, and the stairs will be too again. We gave them the option to use concrete, and they decided they wanted to do brick, and so... Okay. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that's what it originally was. A brick that you walk on is obviously problematic. And so there are houses such as that house on Governor and College that has the nice little, kind of a curved roof. It's a little bungalow. Mm-hmm. It's all brick, and it has brick steps. And we've actually, staff has not approved replacing those brick steps with concrete because they're an integral part of the architecture of the house. Mm-hmm. These have been covered for many years and have obviously been problematic, and so that's why we discussed the option of concrete steps here. But they wanted to do brick, which we support. Minor review. This is 602 Dearborn, which is in that location. And last year, we approved an addition on the back of the house. Like, this is the whole addition. It goes on this part of the house. It's not shown in this photo. And they originally just had a little stoop and step, and they decided they wanted to do a deck. And so it'll be mostly at grade, but I think it might still have a railing. Not sure. This is that odd bungalow where they added 2 feet to the side of the house, all the way down the side of the house. I'm still really not sure exactly how much that gained them, but that's why the roof slopes out like it does. So
disorienting.
Yeah, it does, because it would have just come down to here. This is where the house would have ended.
But the roof would have had that kind of bend anyway?
No.
No.
No, okay. It would have just come down.
All right.
Yeah, they had to do that in order to add the space.
Yep.
And they apparently decided they didn't want to change the ridge. It would have, I don't know.
That worked for that much.
Okay.
Consideration of minutes. Any notes?
Any changes?
It looked good to me.
Thoman moves to approve the minutes for the November 14th, 2024 meeting.
Lewis seconds.
In favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. Commission discussion, number one, election of officers.
Sure. We can do that.
Sure. Well, I don't have guidelines ahead of me on what we're doing
No,
exactly,
that's okay. So I think I can help you through this.
Thank you.
We do know that Jordan does not want to be chair for whatever reason for a while. And so she wants to step down, but I believe that if someone wants to nominate her for vice chair, she is open to that.
I'm open to it.
And we've been talking with Andy about taking over as chair. So if someone wants to nominate him as chair, that would be great. If anyone else is interested, they could speak up and we could consider that. But otherwise, I think we just take a nomination, a second for good measure, and then we vote. And you can discuss if you want.
And I do, I will just go ahead and clarify because it's far enough along and I don't want it to just sound like I don't want to. Because I really have, it's really been a fascinating, rewarding experience to be chair. But I have, I'm in the process of buying Little Village magazine. So that's just, it's a conflict of interest with the city, I think. And just time management issues and mental health. So off I go. But it's been lovely. So thank you for everybody.
Good. Wagner nominates Jordan Seligren for vice chair and Andrew Lewis for chair.
Reynolds seconds that.
All right. In favor?
Aye.
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 All opposed? Say nay.
Do you want to oppose your own nomination?
No, I didn't know. Could
That's
we vote
right.
on
so
ourselves?
You switched roles,
yeah.
right?
That's right.
Andy,
we just switched chairs right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you want to switch
seats? He's tired of sitting over on that side.
Yeah.
Andrew, will you be at the January meeting?
Fully no.
You will not?
No. I will be in Arizona.
Okay, great. Unorthodox, but we will move forward.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So we'll use our new vice chair.
I will, as vice chair, oversee the January meeting.
That's okay. So a couple things that I wanted to point out, a few things coming up. And then I also, in the past, when we had our Historic Preservation Awards, we actually brought them to the commission who had to approve them, and then we'd send out our notifications. And we've voted a year back or so to say that we don't have to do that. But we still want to show you the awardees at this meeting. You're just not going to vote on them. So I'll have a separate slide presentation I'll show real quick. We're not going to go over them a lot. We're just going to look at them. But anyway, so January, currently we don't necessarily have an application. That doesn't mean we won't have a meeting, but I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes. I will be out of town beginning the 24th until the Monday that's not like New Year's Eve-ish. Mm-hmm. So I'll be gone for like 10 days or so. Okay. Just an FYI. There might still be staff available to help people. Anyway. So it's getting to be annual report time, and so during the February meeting, we will review the annual report that I'll compile and approve it, and then I send it to the state at the end of February. I'll present it to council sometime in February. Currently, it's scheduled the meeting before it comes here, and I don't know if that's going to happen or not, because you won't have approved it yet, so I'm not sure how that'll go. And we have, of course, our awards is the final Thursday of the month of February.
27th of February.
Yeah. And that's at the library at 5 or 5:30. I can't remember right now. My little update about the awards is not only the photos, but we're at that point where we need after photos of almost all of them.
Got it.
FYI. Almost all of them.
Yeah.
And as we get responses in, we have a Google Drive. I'm putting the stuff in there. I'll get more stuff and I'll put it in there. But I think the committee, the next thing is to figure out who's writing things and who's presenting things. Mm-hmm. And so just a little FYI on that. This also kind of came up, and I don't know that there's anything official about it, but, you know, the United States of America has a 250th anniversary that's coming up in 2026. And across the nation, and then also, of course, across the state, communities are doing official things to celebrate that. And I've heard that, at least through the state's website on it, celebrations will begin December 28th of 2025 and continue all the way through, you know, wherever that point is. I can't
just remember. A wild party from.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever. And I don't know if our community has already started working on this or has thoughts. I do know that there are some communities that have started working on it. But that's just the kind of thing that I would assume that this commission would be somehow involved in some way.
Okay.
And but I don't know what that means. So I just wanted to kind of point it out that it's out there. It's, you know, a year off, but it is out there.
It's probably a good time to pull in the nonprofits, friends, and
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we see opportunities for stuff,
yeah,
out there, I guess.
Maybe you could, you know, maybe Preservation Month is in May. Maybe that year you could have something somehow related,
mm-hmm.
do an event. You know, that gives you almost, 18 months to figure it out. I am going to try to get out of here.
Yeah, so we are meeting in January.
Currently, so you are meeting in January.
It's just that there are no applicants so far?
So far. We accept applicants until next Wednesday. We could also, that was the other thing. We do need to discuss your work plan. And so currently we would probably do that the same meeting we do the annual report in February.
Mm-hmm.
But we have gotten, you know, we'll have applicants by then. So sometimes that makes the February meeting long. And so maybe that's one thing we could do in January.
The only
problem with that is that I don't have a whole lot of time that I'll be here.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we could talk about the work plan,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And so maybe you just meet quick, talk about the work plan, and that's it. If there aren't any applicants, I don't know. Mm-hmm. We'll have to.
Yeah.
See if the public needs anything, but okay. Oops. I wasn't necessarily going to project these slides, so that's why I was turning off the screen share. Okay, so our nominations, notice I removed that photo, 431 Brown Street, who have scraped and painted all of the shingle siding this year, 423 Church Street, which changed this from kind of a tannish gold color to this color. We have 424 Oakland Avenue, that did an extensive paint job, and apparently the painter was an artist in town, and he signed it.
Oh, cool.
718 Summit Street. This one is hard to photograph when there are leaves.
I love that pink. I just need to comment. I loved that old pink. I love a salmon
this
house.
This color?
Yeah, I do. Oh. I just love a salmon house. I can't help it. Looks
anyway,
nice, though.
It's been completely painted.
Mm-hmm.
This is our former commissioner's house, and she has had problems with the former paint job on this house for years. It's been fading and peeling, and so this was like before. And she's actually done some other work, so I don't know. This might be a rehab instead. I'm not sure. In the rehab We have this project. This is a local landmark at 504 East Bloomington. This rear wall, the concrete here had been pushing in, causing some of this to collapse. There had been this kind of deterioration here on this corner. The walls of the basement entry were falling in. And so this is the after. And like most masonry projects that are done well, it's hard to see that something has been done. So mm-hmm. we'll illustrate it as well as we can and describe it. But yeah, this would be before, and this is after, and it you can't tell. They've done some other work, however. I know that the front doors have some elaborate glass with some wood detail, and they had one of those had to be repaired. They've replaced some roofs and stuff like that. So they've done other
work. Is this a single family?
This is a rental upstairs and a law office downstairs.
Okay.
So it's in residential rehabilitation, but it's kind of a mixed use building. This is an extensive project that we helped with our Historic Preservation Fund. It originally was covered in vinyl siding all over. The owners removed it. They had it painted. They had, trim repaired. They've had the porch completely repaired. They've had steps built. They've done a lot of work. And they're actually still working on repairing the windows currently.
Looks so good.
This is a project where I haven't been out to photograph it yet. So this is the July photo, and this is before. So this is a Moffett cottage, and the chimney had been damaged in a storm. And it was nominated by the mason who fixed it, and they basically had to reconstruct a large portion of this chimney because of the fact that it's, stacked stone, irregular stacked stone. And then this would be the recent photo after the work is done, but we need to photograph this better anyway, too. And frankly, who knows? We could find out that they did more projects.
Mm-hmm.
We only know about the chimney. This is a rear porch on South Lucas Street. This owner takes very good care of her house. And, it was kind of like a stacked blocks here, kind of a solid beadboard. It was all deteriorating, very undersized columns. They were just 4x4s. And so keeping the roof, she had the rest of it reconstructed. And so it has a more traditional porch floor and steps. The railing is more traditional. We have some boxed out columns. He did have this little inset detail to it, which is interesting as well. But, it's a small project, but it's still had a big impact on the back of this house. This project, she's done a huge amount of work. The before photos really tell the story. Like, you can see that there's a shingle missing here. I mean, the whole house looked like that. It was just, the shingles were in bad condition. Originally, we noted some areas where they could keep the shingles, but it ended up there was just too much deterioration. And so the house completely got reshingled. It's been painted. She removed a non-historic rear entry canopy. She's changed a couple things to add some rear patio doors. And eventually she may convert the garage back into a garage. She's talked about that. 530 Ronald Street, they've done a lot of work too. Obviously they've been working substantial amount of work on the porch. This is the side along whatever that cross street is. I can't remember now. Johnson Street, they had some deteriorated siding that they needed to work on as well. I think that this structure on this porch floor is rather intricate and exciting, personally. but that's the way it was constructed. You can, the columns were boxed out. It's kind of interesting. And then this one, this house, we always used to laugh about this house and call it a dog, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
We This is before, and this Google picture does not do credit to the change. It actually is a phenomenal amount of change, but this house was a colonial revival. I think it was probably most similar to the house that's across from Kevin's house on kind of diagonally. So there's a white house on College and Johnson up here. I think it was probably most similar to that house.
So did neither of them have front porches?
Right. Correct.
Oh, interesting.
So I think what was is that we had this basically a side gabled form with a little bump out entry, kind of, you know, it might have projected a little bit, but someone built this entire front on it.
Oh,
but they
I see.
Did it historically. And so that there's a little bit of evidence on the inside, so you can see where the transition is. But on the outside, they made the siding all blend in and everything.
And she was in a couple years ago because they were working on their garage.
Yeah.
We had approved a different material for the siding.
Yeah, at one point in time, there's a rear addition. And, you know, that's kind of interesting, actually. So there's a rear addition, and since this whole house was covered in vinyl, and it was in a conservation district, the guidelines allowed the commission to approve the addition to have vinyl siding on it. However, when they removed all the vinyl siding from the main house, now they have an addition with vinyl siding.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have anything else under it. You know, it's just vinyl. And they'll re-side it at some point in time. Here it is showing in this photo. They didn't do it right now. But that connection point, you know, they had the siding run into it, and she's like, what do we do right here? And I'm like, well, you're going to have a corner board that's in there that both of the sidings butt up against, and so your best option is probably to figure out how to get that corner board in there so your vinyl dies into it and then the other siding dies into it. But it did create an issue. This house also had a rear window, like on the back of this, where it had been put in, and the contractor did not put it in the plane of the wall, really. He put it out at the vinyl siding. And so basically they had a window that once they removed the vinyl, it's like stepping out. And so then they had to set it back in. Some of the reasons why we have guidelines that ask for certain things are so that when you do an amazing project like this, you don't run into a problem. So during this project, we discovered ghosts in the paint that allowed us to realize that it originally, or at least when this was done to the front of the house, it had shutters. Our guidelines don't really allow shutters unless the house type or the house had it. And so we approved new shutters. These are the new shutters. It also had brackets holding up a larger entry canopy. They didn't enlarge the entry canopy right now, but, you know, I think they were going to eventually put brackets on it and stuff. So there were some things that we were able to see that were interesting. Anyway, removing the vinyl and the plastic shutters and, you know, fixing the original siding actually made quite a bit of difference in this house, and they still get compliments all the time.
Mm.
It all started from a very small fire right here.
Mm.
Additions and new construction. This is a little house in the Lucas Farms neighborhood. This is the side view of it, so the front of it is over here, but it's a corner house. And they built this addition that you see. Here it is under construction, here it is finished, here it is from the back, like from this side. And they worked with the contractor to get it to fit in with the rest of the house very well. And then we have the new construction on Ronald Street. And we really wanted to highlight that as well. And then we have a stewardship award, and that would be Ann Burnside and Linda McGuire. They work a lot in the Northside neighborhood. They do work a lot in preservation. They live here in this house that they have recently painted and taken very good care of. And next door is this house that they bought after the previous developer wanted to take it down, and that was not The commission did not give approval of that. And so they took it over and completely rehabbed it. The interior was soaked with cat urine. And so they had to completely gut the interior, dry it out, get all of the enzyme working to get rid of the smell, and then they finished it out and keep it as a rental property next door to them. It does have still like a vinyl or metal siding on it that they haven't removed, but they've done everything else with this house. And this house was also moved in. They have done some research on it, and at least at one point in time, maybe they thought that it came from somewhere down near where the university's what's that building on the river where people congregate? The Union. I couldn't remember what it was called. Maybe somewhere in that area or along Iowa Avenue between the river and the Capitol, that kind of place. But that was it.
Great. Motion to adjourn.
Lewis moves to adjourn.
Wagner second.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.